Happy Easter, everyone. Today's sermon is called Special Delivery. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Our Lord God, who reveals truths to our spirits and souls, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Spring cleaning always gives me time to review those things that I've collected over the years, and 2023 is no different. So I'd like to share with you the genesis of today's message that first took flight from my friend Alice McKenzie, who I also met while I was in seminary and who left me some years ago with some thoughts for this morning's message. Angels, she said, were delivering a message. So let's play with that a little bit. Suppose that angels in Matthew's gospel were package delivery people, right? Right. When I think of the delivery person, I'm focused on the FedEx truck who drives by our house and occasionally stops. And this person has done our route for a few years now. He's friendly enough. But he's there to deliver a package and sometimes give a dog bone to Grace, gives a milk bone to Grace just to make friends. But he's there to deliver a package, not to sell it to me. He just drops off a package for Kate or me. But he doesn't say, "Hey, Mark, I know you love coffee since I always see you with a cup of coffee in your hand. There's this new coffee maker that's got 4.8 out of 5 stars in terms of reliability and taste. Here's a discount coupon you can use to buy it along with their coffee, which I also highly recommend." No, man, our FedEx person is there to deliver packages, not to be my buddy or to empathize with me. Like, he doesn't say, "Hey, Mark, how are you feeling about your new coffee maker? I know getting used to a coffee maker can be a change in taste and aroma, so I just want to reassure you that this is going to be a positive addition to your home and encourage you in the big step of accepting it into your home." And like I said, sometimes he gives Grace a doggy biscuit if she's outside, but otherwise this is the guy to ring the doorbell, hand me the package, hold out the clipboard for me to sign for the package. He's on a schedule and focused on making all his deliveries. Can you see it? That the angels in Matthew's gospel are like my FedEx person. The angels arrive, right? But they're focused on their job. They're there to deliver the good news. They're not there to sell it to us. They're not there to be our buddy or to empathize with us. They're there to deliver their package. And then it's up to us to sign for it, open it, and use it. The good news is only ever preceded by one short preliminary sentence. What is the one phrase that is most used in the New Testament and particularly in the Gospels? "Be not afraid." Don't be afraid, right? Where else have we heard that? It's all over the place. I know. I know you got this. Well, let's remind ourselves of where else we've heard this. "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will name him John." "Don't be afraid, Mary," said the angel Gabriel. "Don't be afraid, shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy that shall be to all people. Don't be afraid, Joseph. Take Mary as your wife. Her baby is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Name him Jesus. He's going to save all people from their sins." And so today the angels say, what? Right. They say, "Don't be afraid." They deliver the package, ask us to sign for it, open it, and then use it. But how about the drop-off scene of the package in Matthew's version of the resurrection, right? Here, this is an angel who knows how to make an entrance. He comes in with engines roaring, tires squealing, the ground shakes as a result. The angel rolls back the large sealed stone. This is an angel with attitude. This angel rolls back the stone, sits on it, and looks so beautiful in the snow-white uniform that angels' delivery services wear. The angel peers over at the guards, who are displaying certain physical symptoms of extreme terror that we're not going to go into. But the angel isn't there to deliver the package to the guards. That first delivery try of the package is being reserved for someone else, or actually to someone else's. Isn't that right? Rolling their angel eyes as if to say, take that, Caiaphas. Take that, Pilate. This is what God thinks of your effort to put a Messiah in the tomb. A tomb as a prison for the Prince of Peace, Son of God? Think again. A tomb for his final resting place? I don't think so. And then for the main message, the angel's eyes turn softer and brighter towards Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, whom in Matthew is probably the mother of Jesus, and says, do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has been raised, as he said. Matthew wants to make sure that we notice these three little words, as he said. Because in Matthew's gospel, Jesus told us so three times. Jesus tried to deliver the good news package to the disciples in Matthew's gospel three times, but they refused to sign for it. Why do we, like them, despite the witness of scripture, tradition, and our life of worship and service, still come to so many situations looking for spiritual death when we've been promised the living water of eternal life waiting there for us? Is it because when we look to the past, we remember that the world has dashed our high hopes? Things didn't turn out as we hoped. Circumstances went against us. We were angry and confused and disappointed. Other people disappointed and hurt us. You heard some of these things along the way? What? You're breaking up with me now? And through a text? But I was in line for that position when Pat retired. Or maybe. But I watch my diet and exercise. Well, what do you mean I have cancer? Or maybe, shouldn't there be a heartbeat at 12 weeks? Or perhaps she was baking a cake just this morning. What do you mean she's dead? I want to leave you with these final thoughts. Tragedy in our world seems ever present. So often that we hear the first half of Jesus' prediction. The Son of Man will suffer and be killed. But we forget what comes next. Why do we come to so many situations alert to the signs of death, disappointment, and defeat when we've been promised life and hope that's waiting on the other side of those things? Is it because when we look to the future with what we know of life, we know that difficult situations lie ahead? we like to say in the UCC that we're people of the resurrection. We don't deny the hard things or the hard times. But we can say that with the help of God, we get a new start. One day we wake up from the trauma in a new place, or thinking a new thing and experiencing the companionship of a friend who's just come to spend time with us and just be. Maybe where we belong most is right back where we started from. Created in God's grace, in God's image, with the hope of the world in front of us. That's why Easter is for the children. And it's why God says we should be more like them, to let the children come without hindering them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. My prayer for you this day, my brothers and sisters, is to look out into the future with the eyes of resurrection. Thanks be to God. Amen.